सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We'll start verses 25 to 29, chapter 4.
दैवमेवापरे यज्ञम् योगिनः पर्युपासते ब्रह्माज्ञावपरे यज्ञम् यज्ञेनैवोपजुवते दैवमेवापरे यज्ञम् योगिनः पर्युपासते ब्रह्माज्ञावपरे यज्ञम् यज्ञेनैवोपजुवते। श्रोत्राधीनीन्द्रियाण्यन्ये संयमात्मिषु जुवते शब्दाधीन्विषयानन्यः इन्द्रियात्मिषु जुवते श्रोत्राधीनीन्द्रियाण्यन्ये संयमात्मिषु जुवते शब्दाधीन्विषयानन्यः इन्द्रियात्मिषु जुवते। सर्वाणीन्द्रियकर्माणि प्राणकर्माणि चापरे आत्मसंयमयोगाग्नौ जुवते ज्ञानदीपिते सर्वाणीन्द्रियकर्माणि प्राणकर्माणि चापरे आत्मसंयमयोगाग्नौ जुवते ज्ञानदीपिते। द्रव्ययज्ञास्तपो यज्ञाः योगयज्ञास्ततापरे स्वाध्यायज्ञानयज्ञाश्च यतयः संशितव्रताः द्रव्ययज्ञास्तपो यज्ञाः योगयज्ञास्ततापरे स्वाध्यायज्ञानयज्ञाश्च यतयः संशितव्रताः। अपाने जुवति प्राणम् प्राणेपानं ततापरे प्राणापानगतिरुद्वा प्राणायामपरायणाः अपाने जुवति प्राणम् प्राणेपानं ततापरे प्राणापानगतिरुद्वा प्राणायामपरायणाः।
क्रिया कारक फलात्मकं जगत् is one explanation of jagat given by Adi Shankara. Kriya means action, karaka the cause, and phala effect is another way of looking at the jagat. The world is nothing but cause and effect relationship. For every action there will be an equal and opposite reaction. So when you do a kriya, an action will produce punya or papa, because the actor who does the action, if he does the action prompted by good desires, the action will bring about punya. If the actor is prompted by selfish desires, then he will be getting the phala of pap. So every action has the effect of pap and punya. The exception is if the actor does the action without the attitude of doership. In every action, whether it is good desires prompting or negative desires prompting, the doership is there. That is why we gain punya and papa. If we can do an action without any doership, then that action will not fructify into any fruit. There are no papa or punya for such activities. This is the gist of it. So that is why in 23 he says, his actions are resolved. Why his actions are resolved? Because in 24 he says, he does actions with Brahma Buddhi. You can do actions with Brahma Buddhi or Karaka Buddhi. Karaka Buddhi means doership. So we gave the example, if you do an act of charity, but you do that with I am the doer attitude, then you will gain punya. Punya means you will be bound to the world further. You will be developing more vasanas. You will be having to be born again. It's a must for you. You will be born again only till you exhaust the vasanas. You will not be born again. Otherwise you will continue even if you have gained punya. Supposing you do an action of even killing somebody, which is what the discussion is here about, the war, right? Just before the war, the battle, Bhagavad Gita discussion started. So Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna, supposing you do an action of even killing somebody, but without doership, then the path is not there. It's a question of the doership motive behind the action. That is the gist. So when you are Brahma Buddhi, then you say, I am not the doer, Atma is not the doer. Is very clear. So he says, Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Havihi, Brahma Agnav, Brahma Nahudam, Brahma Ivatena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhinam. So a person who is attained Samadhi, such a person is called as Brahma Karma Samadhi, means his karmas are always underlined by the awareness that he is Brahman, he is Atman, he is in such a Samadhi, he is rooted in that. So to explain that, I get the example that just how we never lose the consciousness that I am a man or I am a woman. You are not straining yourself to remember that you are a woman, but you are a man. It is in you. Right? So in any situation, you have that awareness. Similarly, he has that awareness that he is Brahman and he does action. When he does action, the action example taken here is of a ritual, because this fire worship was very prevalent in those days. Fire worship is also symbolic. Fire, when you put gold in fire, it purifies fire. So the fire has the property of purifying. So knowledge of Brahman has a property of purifying. Lot of us have this guilt feeling, like you were also discussing before, that oh, I am like this, I have lot of ego, I do lot of things egoistically, I've done lot of pap in the past, I don't know whether that is redemption for you. It's not the question of how much baggage of pap and punya you have. For example, if you have a huge pile of dry hay, how much fire you require to burn it? Just a spark. So today, in spite of all your past baggage, today if you turn to knowledge, that is enough to burn all your pap and punya. You don't have to worry. It's a question of not how much collection of pap and punya you have. It's a question of what direction in life you are taking. Even today, if you can gain that knowledge, knowledge can burn the pile of the baggage and purify you. So fire has the property of purifying. And fire, when you offer the ahuti into the fire, wheat etc. into the fire, it burns the seed, it loses the capacity to germinate further. So fire worship is symbolic. Traditionally, the fire worship is basically trying to tell us, likewise, you have to burn your ego in the fire of Brahman. So Brahma Arpanam means the ladle which is used in the performance of ritual. He looks at it also as Brahman. And the ahuti which is kept in the ladle and poured into the fire. That is also Brahman. The person who is doing the ritual, that is also Brahman. And where is it poured into the food? That is also Brahman. So when you have such an attitude and function in life, what will be the phala that comes out of such an action? He says that phala will also be Brahman. You will be purifying yourself and getting closer and closer to Brahman. So the idea is to kindle that awareness and start functioning. Function with less and less egoistically, and function with more and more identification with the higher. Those who are not able to identify with the higher directly, identify with a relatively higher goal and function. All that we will see in the next verses. This portion from 25 to 30, verse 25 to 30, he talks about 12 ignorance. In other words, from the time we are born till the time we die, from the time we wake up till the time we go to sleep, womb to tomb, we are constantly acting. We are like an industry. We receive the stimuli from the external world, the stimuli reacts with it, and then we respond back to the world. Just like how industry receives the raw material from the world and processes the raw materials within the factory and then sends out the finished product back to the world. So we are also doing the same thing. So we receive the stimuli through our organs of perception. Then the reaction takes place within our inner personality, in the mind. And then we send forth response back to the world through the organs of action. So even if you are an unemployed person, morning till night, you are doing the activity of receipt, reaction and response. Strictly speaking, nobody is unemployed. You understand? So this receipt, reaction and response, how to convert them into worship? How to make your entire life into worship? Today for us, we have to take off from our life's activity to go and worship. We want to go on pilgrimage. We want to go to Badrinath, Kedarnath, Balaji. We are not saying you should not go, you should not do all that. That's not the idea here. But what we are saying is, if supposing you are not able to go, for whatever reasons, you need not get bothered, because you can sit here and convert each and every activity into worship. For example, we may be sitting here every week after week just to see how to spend time. Or spend time worthily to earn something which will help me to purify myself and reach the highest perfection. So the action of studying Bhagavad Gita itself could be just a mere entertainment, or it could be converted into worship. Similarly, eating food could be converted into worship. Every action that you do, whatever action it might be, could be converted into worship. How to convert your entire life into worship? That is what he speaks in this portion, because the sadhana that we do is not separate from our daily routine. We need to understand this. A lot of people think, these are my daily routine things, then these are my sadhana. Therefore, what do they do? They quickly want to finish off what they do so that they can concentrate in sadhana, because they think only that will help them to get there. This is why a lot of families' problems break out. Because what they say, ever since that person started becoming interested in Vedanta, he is not doing what he was doing for the family, what she was doing for the family, or she is doing it in a hurry. You listen, he is doing it in a hurry, not doing it really. No, I have to do this, I have to do this. Basically, if you understand this, and you go to the lecture, and what is the lecture talking about? How to convert each and every activity of yours into worship. So the prayer, how to convert your actions into a prayer. And prayer means, remember, prayer, spelling is P-R-A-Y-E-R, not P-R-E-Y. Right? So prayer is something to kindle awareness in you. So 5 minutes of prayer, 10 minutes of prayer, 1 hour of study is to kindle the awareness in you so much that the rest of the day you function with that awareness. It is like you charge your mobile phone for few hours, then the mobile phone works for the rest of the day, then you again recharge it for it to work for you the rest of the day. So prayer is charging yourself with awareness to make that awareness last forever. So Swamiji says, prayer is not a part-time, pastime hobby. It is a full-time awareness of truth. So this portion, what is called as 12 Yajna portion, talks about how to convert each and every action of yours into a worship. With this introduction, let us get to verse 25.
దైవమేవాపరే యజ్ఞం యోగినః పర్యుపాసతే బ్రహ్మాజ్ఞావపరే యజ్ఞం యజ్ఞేనైవోపజువతి దైవమేవాపరే యజ్ఞం యోగినః పర్యుపాసతే బ్రహ్మాజ్ఞావపరే యజ్ఞేనైవోపజువతి.
Some yogis perform sacrifice to gods, devas. Others perform sacrifice by offering sacrifice itself in the fire of Brahman. So he is talking about two yajnas here. You can call it as Deva Yajna or Deva Yajna and Brahma Yajna. What in English Swamiji calls as limited goal and absolute, limited goals and absolute goal. Like I said, remember the context is to convert receipt, reaction and response into worship. That is the portion. So he says some people sacrifice to gods. In any yajna, these two are very important. What is that? Offering and kindling. You offer something into the fire shoots up and blesses you. These are two important aspects of a yajna. Offering. In fact, the most important is offering. But you offer for something. So there are people who have not come to that stage of where they want only self-realization. Like in Maslow's theory, he says, first the fundamental requirements have to be taken care of, fulfilled. Only then the person will go to the next level. Even Swami Vivekananda says, give food to the fellow who is hungry. Only then you can teach him how to fish, how to catch fish. But if you give him lecture on how to catch fish when he is hungry, he is not interested in it. You understand? That is why here also, before you come to the class, they serve you something. So that you are not hungry. I suppose that's the idea. You can have it compulsory later on. I don't know what else is the idea. Right? So, in other words, you must understand that wealth, all the other requirements are there for you. You have to cross that and go. You have to rise above that, to rise beyond that. That is why in our Shastra, they clearly said there are four goals: Artha, Kama, Dharma, then Moksha. Directly, if you say my goal is Moksha, it makes no sense, because you have not risen above wealth, you have not risen above karma, you have not risen above dharma, you have not risen above moksha. Right? So we have chakras, we have texts for all the four. In fact, the Veda Purvam Bhag focuses more on artha, kama and dharma. The Veda Ant Bhag in Vedanta, the emphasis is more on moksha, because the fellow should have crossed over artha, kama, dharma, then he can be focused in moksha. Otherwise, as you are talking about moksha shastra, You understand? The mind is going into wealth. Will Bhagavad Gita help me to get that money, get that project, get that relationship going on? Because you are still not risen above. So we have script, we have texts for all the four. For Artha Shastra, how to get the wealth, Durga Shapta Sati, for example, 700 verses again in that, which talks about this portion, Artha. Then Kama Sutra, another 700 verses. Then you have for Dharma, Manu Dharma Shastra, 700 verses. Now Bhagavad Gita, Moksha Shastra, which has 700 verses. The reason is you have to rise above. Right? So nothing is to be looked at as a taboo, because the more you look at it as a taboo, the more you will get stuck there. The idea is to rise above that and go to your Atma. So some people who are at the lower level, they are still asking for this and that. So they have to offer their prayers, offer their rituals to the respective deva. Like government of India, the Prime Minister rules the country, but he has other ministries. So if you want land for some trust, for some work that you are doing, you want some land, either freely donated by the government, or you want at a cheaper rate, you have to go to the particular ministry. You can't go to the Ministry of Defense. You have to go to, I think it's the Urban Development Ministry. So you go to that ministry. Right? You want to know something about law, then you go to that ministry. You understand? So, exactly like that, depending upon what is the desire that one wants to fulfill, one offers ritual to that particular deva. So that is what is called here as Deva Yajna. So people have different desires, different limited goals. In the sense, so remember again, these portions are discussed in the Vedas not because they want you to become greedy and amass more and more wealth. They basically want you to give this so that you experience that also and rise above that and say, like Swami Ramtita says, iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold. Iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold. If you want iron and gold, you must have iron and gold. But if you want happiness, then you have to know your original nature. Why are you going behind iron and gold? You may say, to get more iron and gold. Why you want more iron and gold? Ultimately, it will come down to happiness. So therefore, at one point, you must understand that iron and gold will not help me to get happiness. It can help me to get more iron and gold. So then, you will go from artha to kama to dharma. Then you will come to... So this is also taken as yajna. This is also taken as yoga, because you have to be satisfied at that level and rise above. So Daiva Yajna. So people offer to limited goals. Like you are not able to directly conceive. For example, if each one of us here say that my goal is self-realization. Somebody on the road calls you some name, we are affected. But we say my goal is self-realization. We are still not there. Though we understand that ultimately one should rise to that level. So it is more practical for us to have a limited goal and sacrifice for that, and once we get that, not get stuck there and further escalate. So some yogis perform sacrifice. They offer to a particular devata certain rituals, and that devata, having satisfied by the rituals, blesses them. This is called limited goal. Others offer directly to Brahman. in other words, ultimately what will give you realization is knowledge. Knowledge is the direct means for liberation. If you want to cook vegetables, your direct means for cooking vegetables is fire. There are other means of washing the vegetables, removing the peels, then cutting them, water, all these are other means. But the direct means for cooking is what?
Fire.
This example Adi Chandra gives in Atmabodha. Pakasya vanni vajnanam vina moksho na siddhyate. To cook, you need fire. Like that, for moksha, what you need is knowledge. But if you are a person who is not prepared enough, qualified enough to gain knowledge, then will the knowledge get established in you? You may be sitting in so many Gita lectures, but like Swami Chinmayananda says, you have gone through the Gita, but has the Gita gone through you? You know, Gita you have gone through, but has the Gita gone through you? Like we are in the 25th verse of chapter 4. So many verses we have covered. Yet if some of the verses I chant from what we have covered, you feel as if it's new. Right? The Gita is still not gone through you. So therefore, in the beginning, you must do actions which gives you purification, Atma Shuddhi, Chitta Shuddhi. Only when the soil is prepared, then the seed is sown, it is able to grow and germinate and further produce. Otherwise, it cannot. So therefore, they always talk about being an adhikari. Again in the Atmabodha he says, tapo bhikshina papanam shantanam vitaraginam mumukshu namapekshoyam atmabodho vidhiyate. This you should have tapas qualification. Kshina papanam, bulk of your desires must have been at least removed. Very many ways in which qualifications are mentioned. Vairagya, Viveka, Chat Sampati, then what is it called? Mumukshatva. Mumukshatva is ardent burning desire to liberate. Yeah, I am comfortable, whatever I am going through now. I don't even feel that I am bound. Why would I be interested in liberating? You are very comfortable. Would you be asking for liberation? So what is the point in talking about the shastra for liberation to a person who doesn't even know that he is bound? Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa says, when you push a person's head into a water surface, what will he do? He will do anything to come out of it, because he is suffocated. Like that, if you feel you are suffocated, only then you would want, you would be interested in liberation. You are not feeling like that, then why would you be want, why would you want liberation? Therefore it is Mumukshatva Unache. So in other words, it is not as though you should have all these qualities 100% and only then go to the Guru. But to the extent you have these qualities, to that extent you will be gaining the knowledge. And knowledge will further help you to enhance your qualities, qualification. So therefore, Daiva Yajna is Yajna that is meant, it is done for purification. See, for example, I know ultimately liberation is the only thing. I understand everything theoretically, but my mind is still going to hell. Is it not? Mind is still going to entertainment, karma. Mind is still going to duty, work. I have to do this to my children, I have to do that to my children, dharma. It's still there. Therefore, what do you do as a grahastha? you do Deva Yajnam. Limited goals. Idea is you write about that. Then you come to a level where you say only Jnanam. You give all the responsibilities and everything to the others. So, Papa, you please take care of all these things. This much I have done. Now it is for you to do whatever you want to do. I want to fully focus on Jnanam. So that person dedicates himself fully to Brahman. So he says, others perform yajna, sacrifice, by offering yajna. By offering yajna means what? Here he offers his little self in the fire of higher self. The little self is what? Ego. The very ego is offered in the fire of Brahman. The doership is offered into the fire of Brahman. I am not the doer. The doership is offered in the fire of Brahman. So by offering the doership, the little self, in the fire of higher self, he kindles Brahman. Brahman is acting, offering itself into Brahman. So here the word yajna means what? Little self in this context. Yajnena. Yajnena. By yajna. By who is offering? You. Are you offering with the notion that I am doer of this yajna? If you have that notion and do the yajna, then it is not Brahma yajna. But if you do not have that notion and you do the yajna, then it is Brahma yajna. But for you to do that, you need to have knowledge. Only those who have got knowledge established in them can do Brahma yajna. Others can only do Deva yajna. But by doing Deva yajna, slowly, slowly, they gain qualification to gain knowledge. And through knowledge, they will be able to do Brahma yajna. Is that clear? So, limited goals and absolute goals. That is why in our Hindu symbolism, a person whose mind is going to wealth, they said wealth is Goddess Lakshmi. If the mind is going to power, the power is Goddess Durga. If the wealth is going to knowledge, Goddess Saraswati. Everything was divinized. Divinized. The idea is, anything you do, you should not lose that awareness of divinity, the hand of divinity. Then such a person is completely surrendered, and that surrender will make him realize the self. With this, let's go to verse 26. Shrotra dhinindriyanyanye, Shrotra dhinindriyanyanye, Samyamagnishu juvati, Samyamagnishu juvati, Shabda dhinvishayananya, Shabda dhinvishayananya, Indriyagnishu juvati, Indriyagnishu juvati, Shrotra dhinindriyanyanye, Samyamagnishu juvati, Shabda dhinvishayananya, Indriyagnishu juvati. Now he starts with receipt. The word says, others, some people offer hearing and other senses as sacrifice. Shrotra dini, hearing, etc. Like hearing, other senses like hearing are offered as sacrifice into the fires of restraint. Samyama Agnishu Jubati. Samyama means control. Samyam means what? Restraining. Control. Agnishu is fire. Fires is plural actually. So in the fires of restraint, some people offer hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, etc. That's what it means. When he says hearing, it all, etc. means Shrotra Adhini, means Shrotra see, this is the style of scripture always. They mention one to mean all. Shrotra Adi. Adi means, what do you say that in Hindi?
Ityadi.
Ityadi, etc., etc. Beginning from. Right? In Tamil we say, Kadu Mudal. Kepadu Mudal. Means, beginning from hearing. Meaning, other senses are also included. Right? So, others offer hearing and other senses as sacrifice into the fires of restraint. This is what first line is saying. Second line is saying, others offer sound and other sense objects. Shabdadini. Shabda means sound. Others offer sound and other sense objects, other stimuli as sacrifice in the fires of senses, indriyagnishu. So we say, especially if you see in Swamiji's commentary, he says the second line is the third yajna, the first line is the fourth yajna. You reverse it, though it is in this order, you reverse it. Third yajna is second line of this verse. What is the third yajna? Those who have Swamiji's book, you can see this diagram on page 306. Right? This talks about the 12 yajna, this picture. First, we completed limited goals and absolute goal. Then the yajna of perception is the third. Third is what? Yajna of
perception.
Firstly, what happens in the cycle of receipt, reaction and response? You receive the stimuli from the external world, no? What are the stimuli? Color and form for the eyes, smell for the nose, taste for the tongue, sight for the eyes, and touch for the skin. The five stimuli you receive from the external world. So first thing that happens is, stimuli falls into your senses, is received and registered. So stimuli is offered, registration of perception is kindled. So you don't have to worry, I'm not able to go to Badrinath, Kedarnath, Balaji, my body is not cooperating, I'm not well, I'm too old, I can't climb the mountain, etc., etc. Every time when the perception is kindled, you can oblate that stimuli. I am hearing this sound. That means stimuli of sound has entered my ears and the perception of hearing is kindled. This itself can be converted into a worship. The awareness that I am hearing, the awareness behind every hearing is Atma. To that Atma I surrender. This is one way of looking at it. This is also called as Vishaya Grahana Yajna. What is it called? Vishaya Grahana Yajna. Which is the Vishaya Grahana Yajna? Second line of the verse 26. I am repeating again. Second line of verse 26. Vishaya means what? Object. Sense object. Vishaya. Theek hai? Vishaya Grahanam means what? Absorption of the Vishaya. Vishaya Grahana Yajna. The first line of verse 26 is talking about fires of restraint. It is called as Dhamma Yajna. Dhamma means what? Dhamma?
Restraint.
Sense control. Yajna of sense control. Are you with me? 26th verse. First line is talking what? Yajna of sense control. Second line is talking about Yajna of sense absorption or registration. For example, to understand this better, I'll give you an example. You want to fill a vessel with water. So you take the vessel and keep it under the running water. So you open the tap and you keep it there for the vessel to fill. But before that, what you should do? You should plug the holes in the vessel. If you don't plug the holes in the vessel, will the water get filled in the vessel? It will get drained out. First thing is, plug the holes. If you want to kindle the awareness inside you, you must first control your senses. And Stephen Covey has written a book called First Things First. Firstly, what you have to do is sense control on a chair. For example, we are sitting and reading. If we want to really get the maximum out of this reading, we should have less disturbance or no disturbance. If the things around here could kindle the desire in any way, because you will register, then it will kindle desires further. So what you should do, you should have a room which is conducive for study, isn't it? If it is not a room that is conducive for study, it is not that easy for you to study there. So firstly, what you have to do? Sense control. Supposing you eat too much and come and sit here, your energy is going in digesting the food only. There is no energy given to the brain. So you will be not able to focus and study. Right? In some places, due to certain reasons, because unavoidable reasons, we used to have class in the evening from 8:30 to 10. So quite a lot of people, they used to eat and come. Especially if you are a South Indian, you eat curd rice and come. And sit in air-conditioned room. You understand? After a tiring day, you are almost in Surga. You understand? You can't concentrate. Sense control is a very important thing in trying to kindle the awareness with it. But what do we do? A lot of people say, sir, I've been studying Gita for so many years, yet I don't see any changes in me. So the Guru will tell you, if I saw any change in you, I would be surprised. Because you are also studying, no doubt, but simultaneously you are keeping your senses without control. So, for example, if you want to sit down in meditation, but you indulge in senses, when you close your eyes and sit down, what will be the thoughts be? Of those indulgences only. Are you with me? So, as much as possible, already existing vritti should reduce, and we don't add few new vrittis to it. Already we have thoughts, we have asanas. We should make sure that goes on reducing, and we don't add new vrittis. How do we get the vrittis from? Our dear delights are often such, exposed to view but not to touch. The sight our foolish heart inflames, we long for pineapples and grapes. Don't forget that. The sight, Surpanaka goes to Ravana and talks about the beauty of Sita. When, in fact, first he asks, what wrong have you done for somebody to cut your nose? Then she talks about the beauty of Sita. Sound has entered. Are you with me? When the sound has entered, what happened to Ravana? He was not an ordinary fellow. He was educated in the Vedas. Meaning he was weekly classes, he was attending regularly. That's what it means. Like any one of us who's done a lot of tapas, tapasvi, who had got a lot of boon, who strived and struggled, gained so much knowledge, information. But what happened? Sense entered, our dear delights are often such, exposed to view but not to touch. The sight of our foolish heart in flames, we long for Parinatha sessions. Vishwamitra talks about tapas in Ramayana. Yes, tapas means, tapas is something that is free of kama and krodha. And Vishwamitra himself was doing tapasya to overcome these two, and he subjects himself to educate us how he could not conquer kama and krodha. He fell for Menaka, supposedly. He could not conquer kama that easily. Later on he conquered that. Then krodha is famous for his anger also, Vishwamitra. Right? So therefore sense control, little bit of tapas should be there. If not, what happens? Awareness of Brahman will not establish. So Vishaya Grahana Yajna is spoken in the second line of this verse, and Dhamma Yajna is spoken in the first line. Now let us look into what this means. Why he mentions both seemingly connected to senses? Whenever we say restrain, what do we mean by that? If you are seated on the horse, you are riding the horse, and the horse is going on the right direction, right path, will you restrain it? When the horse is going in the wrong directions, not in the direction in which it is supposed to go, only then you restrain it. So restrain in itself necessarily does not mean not contacting. Remember this. Because whenever we hear this word control, we all get agitated. That is why I didn't want to go to Bhagavad Gita. Because the moment you go there, they'll say don't contact. He is not saying don't contact. Restrain means in the areas which are not conducive for the growth of whatever you want to grow, whichever goal you want to achieve, there you restrain. In those areas you restrain. So what does Dhamma Yajna mostly mean? Pulling your senses from the unconducive contacts. Are you with me? Then Vishaya Grahana Yajna means what? Absorbing the contacts which are conducive for attainment of your goal. Whatever goal it may be. Maybe limited goal or Brahma Yajna. Whatever it might be. I am interested in reaching Brahman. So therefore, first and foremost, what is your objective in life? If this is my objective, then what are conducive for me? What are not conducive for me? Those that are not conducive for me, I try not to contact them. Those that are conducive for me, I court them. Is that clear now? Vishaya Grahana Yajna is you absorb the vishaya which are conducive. This is one way of looking at these two verses. How Swamiji looks at these two verses is, the second line is simply yajna of perception, and the first line is ending perception with perception. In the sense, perception is kindled. Now with that, what do? We don't stop. You go to some country on tourism, you come back, it's coming now, most of you might go away, right? You will come back and you will not keep quiet. You will talk about it. Have you been to Switzerland? Have you been to this place? Next time you must go there. You understand? So in other words, we go on ruminating over the perception. So he says, end perception with perception. Perception is offered in the fires of control, restraint. You don't mentally indulge it. So basically, what we need to understand from this, in any area, whatever might be my goal, whether it is worldly or spiritual, I cannot achieve if I do not have sense control. Impossible. Go and ask sports people. Go and ask all this Miss Universe and all that. You understand? They cannot achieve whatever they are achieving without sense control. It's impossible. Isn't it? The cricketers and all the other sportsmen, they would be interested in, like for example, late night party. But if tomorrow morning you are having a match, excuse me, if tomorrow morning you are having a match, match starts at 9 o'clock, full one day cricket match, let us say, and the fellow has to get up early, warm up, do exercises, practice, all that he needs to do. So that means he has to get up at 6 o'clock. He can't go to bed at 2 o'clock. Are you with me? So he has to go to bed early. Without sense control, without sacrifice, impossible to achieve anything in life.
So if we have a goal, then naturally we sacrifice, because he had a goal of a match. So rest of the things, party, dinner.
Not necessarily just because you have a goal, you will be sacrificing. Lot of cricketers give in to their temptations and they are given warning and they are thrown out also.
Wait, exceptions.
So therefore, not exceptions. In fact, this is more exception today. That is why, in spite of talent, not everybody achieves. In spite of talent and goal, not everybody achieves. You understand? So, therefore, you need the intellect to keep you all the time in line with your goal, to keep you consistent and all that. Lot of people, extremely talented, have not achieved that much. But some people with limited talent but with extreme discipline have achieved a lot. So therefore, talent in itself, goal per se, is not the point. Your intellect needs to guide you in the path. Anyway, so anything if you want to achieve, you can't achieve without sacrifice. So in the book Vedanta Treatise, Swamiji says, sacrifice is the synonym of success. Sacrifice is the synonym of success. It's very clear to us, any achievement is possible only with certain discipline, especially sense discipline. You begin there. You can't say, senses I'll indulge. But knowledge also should get established in you. Both don't go hand in hand. Now once you are established, then thereafter senses will not distract you, because your intellect is now very powerful.
And vasanas
are gone. Remember, vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha rasavarcham rasopyasya param drishtvani vartate. Don't look at me like that. We have already read this verse. Verse 59, I think, of chapter 2. Verse 59 of chapter 2. Vishaya vinivartante. Sense objects turn away from an abstinent man. But not the relish. The relish also will turn away upon seeing the Supreme. That is what he said. Drishtva nivartate. Yeah, param drishtva. Drishtva of seeing, having seen the Parama, Supreme. Then it's gone. Thereafter, the desire has been burnt in the fire of knowledge. Thereafter, nobody can tempt you, nothing they can do. You understand? But till then, careful. Till then, be very careful. You are, let's say, somebody is a tuberculosis patient. He is administered medicine for a year, I suppose. This medicine, you have to finish the course. right? Maybe in about 6 to 9 months you feel perfectly alright, and if you stop the medication, relapses then. Therefore, Adi Shankara in Bhajagovindam gives two verses in this connection. Verse number 9 and verse number 19 in Bhajagovindam. Lot of people know and quote verse number 19 very often. What is the verse number 19 saying? Yogaratova, bhogaratova, sangaratova, sangavihinaha. Yasya brahmani ramate chittam nandati nandati nandateva. Means yogaratova, means whether you are in yoga, bhogaratova, whether you are in bhoga, sangaratova, whether you are in company, sangavihinaha, alone. Yasya brahmani ramate chittam, if your mind is ruminating on Brahman, nandati nandati nandateva, it will be happy, happy, very happy. So I can be in yoga or bhoga, doesn't matter, it's the parts that matter. So let me go to yoga or bhoga. Supposing you go to bhoga, what happens? In bhoga, are you able to keep your mind in Brahman? You become like Abhimanyu there. While entering, you chanted Lord's name and entered. Then you forgot the Lord, because Abhimanyu knew how to enter, he didn't know how to come out. So exactly like that, we may think that I will be able to handle these senses without any problem, but having entered, completely forgotten. You understand? Therefore, what did Adi Shankara say? He cautioned us in verse number 9 in Bhajagovindam. What did he say? First he said, satsangatve nisangatvam, nisangatve nirmohatvam, nirmohatve nischalatatvam, nischalatatve jivan mukti. Verse number 9 comes first and then 19. What does he say? Satsangatve nisangatvam. So firstly, what do you have to do? Satsanga. What does satsanga means? Sangha means company. Satsanga means good company. Good company at all levels of your senses. What you hear, what you see, what you smell, what you taste, what you touch. Satsanga. Only then nisanga will come. You will become free from what you should not get attached. Satsangatve nisangatva. Nisangatve nirmohatva. The moha, delusion that I am this individual will go. Nirmohatve nischalatva. You will get established in the essence. Nischalatatve jivan mukti. Then, even while living, you attain Brahman. Then you can chant verse number 19 in the number of times you want. Doesn't matter thereafter whether you are in yoga or bhoga. Therefore, what is the most important thing? I'm spending so much time on this because you need to understand what is the most important thing? Sense control. You understand? Without any sense control, on one side indulgence going on the other side once in a week Bhagavad Gita class also going on. Right? You will not benefit that much. That's all I'm saying. I am only trying to tell you, we will not benefit that much. If we really want to benefit, along with this, we also practice sense control. So, Vishaya Grahana Yajna. Before that, Dhamma Yajna. That is why the Ashtanga Yoga also, they talk about Dhamma, Shama and all that. Because simply going and standing on your head per se is not going to help you. You need to practice sense control. In Ashtanga Yoga also they talk about. Everywhere they talk about Dhamma. You go to the football coach, soccer coach, he'll talk about sense control. Focus. Because if you don't do that, any achievement is impossible. So then you are doing self-cancelling actions. So therefore there must be regulation of your senses. That is why if you see in our culture, they say Monday we don't eat this, Tuesday we watch. Basically regulation. In other words, these disciplines are means. Some people forget that. They get involved in the discipline itself. For them, discipline itself is the end. Disciplines per se will not help you. Then it is very simple. Simply fast. Let us see what moksha comes or not. You will die. Moksha will not come. You understand? So, in other words, these disciplines are means to attain moksha. Discipline itself is not the end. This is another thing you have to be careful when you are doing sadhana. A lot of us come to sadhana, then get stuck in sadhana. Oh, I have to follow the schedule, I have to do this, it's impossible, I cannot. And then get stuck there. Let us say you've been practicing maunam for many years as part of your sadhana. And one day when you were in the airport, it happened to be the day of maunam. And you met your, somebody else is traveling, so they take care of your other things, let us say, boarding pass and all that. So you keep silence. But you met one friend of yours whom you are meeting after 20 years. In the airport, you don't know when you will meet again. You say, no. Lot of people, in the name of maunam, they act dumb. Acting dumb is not maunam, right? Like you, the day you are practicing maunam, your son is up to some mischief, let us say. A small child is up to some mischief. You are getting angry. You can't shout. Because you are practicing maunam. This is, what is this? This is acting dumb. You know, acting deaf and dumb is not the goal here. You understand? Or writing a chit and giving it to people. Because you are practicing maunam. So basically, we need to understand why he is talking about control. We get out of control, in control is what I'm saying. In practicing comes in mind, one of the most important aspects of mind is to get attached. Right? Most important aspect of mind is to get attached. So it will detach from everything and then do sadhana, then it gets attached to sadhana itself. It gets attached to the ashram, my guru, my institute, you understand? Our scriptures, as if you read the other scriptures to say that we are not matching up to our scriptures. How many of us have read Quran or Bible or anything? You understand? Simply people pass. Similarly, they, without reading Bhagavad Gita, they'll say, you understand? Don't go out of control while practicing control. Because that is not the end. The end is something else. So what are the two yajnas that he has talked about here? Yajna, dhamma yajna, then vishaya, grahana, yajna. Both controlling of senses only. And he has mentioned it in plural, fires, because five senses are there. In the next verse, he will talk in singular, because he is going to talk about Kshama, which is mind control, which is Atma Samyama Yoga. We'll do one more verse. Verse 27.
సర్వాణీంద్రియకర్మాణి ప్రాణకర్మాణి చాపరే ఆత్మ సంయమయోగాగ్నౌ జువతి జ్ఞానదీపితే సర్వాణీంద్రియకర్మాణి ప్రాణకర్మాణి చాపరే ఆత్మ సంయమయోగాగ్నౌ జువతి జ్ఞానదీపితే ఆత్మ సంయమ యోగ ఆత్మ సంయమ యజ్ఞ ది యజ్ఞ హియర్ ఇస్ ఆఫ్ కంట్రోలింగ్ ది ఆత్మ హియర్ మీన్స్ వాట్ మైండ్ నాట్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఆర్ ఆత్మన్ ఆత్మశుద్ధి మీన్స్ నాట్ బ్రహ్మశుద్ధి బ్రహ్మన్ ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ శుద్ధి ఆత్మశుద్ధి మీన్స్ చిత్తశుద్ధి మైండ్ శుద్ధి సో హియర్ ఆత్మ సంయమ ఎర్లియర్ యూ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ సెన్స్ కంట్రోల్ దేర్ఫోర్ యూ సెడ్ ఇంద్రియాగ్నిషు శబ్దాదీని విషయ అన్యే ఇంద్రియాగ్నిషు చువతి యు అండర్స్టాండ్ అగ్నిషు ప్లూరల్ హియర్ అగ్నౌ సింగులర్ ఫైర్ ఆఫ్ సెల్ఫ్ కంట్రోల్ basically what it means is first let's read the translation others sacrifice others do yajna others sacrifice all the functions of senses and the functions of the vital airs functions of the vital airs prana karmani here means organs of action right organs of action all activities others sacrifice all the functions of the senses and the functions of the vital airs into the fire of yoga of self control atma samyama yoga now are you with me into the fire of yoga of self control remember yoga of self control means what the self control is to unite with brahman the self control in itself is not my goal right What is the reason for which I am practicing self-control? To unite back to my origin. Why am I practicing Maunam? To unite back to the origin. Why am I practicing fasting? To unite back to the origin. Not to get the award that I am the one who fasted maximum number of days. That is not the goal. Right? There are people who do tapasya for different reasons. So here, yoga of self-control is the fire of yoga of self-control. So in other words, Agni is, what is the Agni here? Self-control is the Agni. In the previous verse, what was the Agni? Sense control. Here the Agni is self-control, mind control. In mind control, they offer the activities of the senses and the organs of action. Now, what is the difference between self-control and self-control? Or mind control, put it that way. So what do you mean by mind control then? So what do you control when you say mind control?
Only react to it. Mind is.
Okay. Thoughts, I told you just now, thoughts are already there in us. Let's say today we decided we will do sense control. Because I told you, why do we do sense control? We don't want the vrittis to further add up. Don't forget that. Right? We don't want new already existing problems are there. Now new problem, we don't want. So vrittis, we don't want to put anything new. Right? And exhaust the already existing vrittis also. That's the idea. Now, in spite of practicing sense control, in spite of making sure you don't go to the areas which are not conducive for you, you go only to the areas which are conducive for you, still, some sense perception could have come. Right? You are sitting in the house where Bhagavad Gita classes are conducted, everything is going on fine, but in the kitchen, they are cooking and the smell is coming, right? In spite of your control, that's
thoughts are going in. Are you with me? New stimuli is entered. This is one possibility. Second is, already existing vrittis are there. Now what do we do today? Go on ruminating over those thoughts. Right? In the invocation to the Bhagavad Gita, when we did Dhyana Shlokas, there is a verse which says, Lord Krishna has Jnana Mudra in one hand and a stick in the other. What is the stick for? Stick is to drive the cattle. Jnana Mudra is talking about getting back to Atma. So each one of us have a choice. Like a cowherd boy, what does he do? He drives the cattle to the pasture land in the morning. What does the cows do? They eat, they graze. And then what do? They come back in the evening to the cow sheds. And then sit down and cut chew. Bring out everything and cut chew. So what do? Morning till night, we send our senses to the respective pasture lands. Eyes, ears, nose are sent to the color and form, sound, smell, taste and touch. Then, evening what do? Kachu. Relive it. That was nice, this was nice. Call people and talk about it. Kachu. Ruminating over those thoughts. How do you develop vasanas? You develop vasanas by reliving those things mentally. Vasanas are developed further, enhanced further by cultivating them. Remember this. Right? So, in spite of our best efforts, some stimuli have entered. Already they are there. There are plenty of stimuli within. The thoughts are there. And new also has entered. Now, having entered, what do I have to do? Carefully, I don't indulge in them. Mentally. Mental intelligence ko control karna padega. That mental intelligence controlling is called as Shama Yajna or Atma Samyama Yajna. One is you make sure new fellows are not entered. Other is make sure you are not indulging the existing thoughts. So what do you do? For example, japa. Why you do the japa? You start to try to think about Narayana, Shiva, those kind of japa, chanting. These are all very good practices to send your thoughts towards something higher. For example, you are sitting and studying the Gita. So tapas is actually twofold, remember this. One is conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels. First aspect of tapas is what? Conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels. And the second aspect of tapas is what? Directing the conserved energy towards higher. I control my senses from the negative things, then I direct them towards positive. Similarly, I don't allow my mind to go on into the thoughts of the lower. I direct them towards. This is the twofold aspects of tapas. If you just simply restrain your senses from the contacts, but then don't direct it towards the higher, then you are doing suppression, not sublimation. The suppression, instead of leading you to shanti, it leads you to depression. And depressed person is extremely agitated. Are you with me? Therefore, what is Shama Yajna? Restraining from indulging on the thoughts. So if you keep yourself idle, obviously your mind will go into the same thoughts. So what you have to do? You have to engage yourself in the positive activities. Then channelize your mind towards the higher. That is why when you are in a place like an ashram, it is more conducive to do sadhana. It is not that you can't do sadhana here. It is even more difficult. Right? So therefore we say, if you really want to develop that awareness, go to a place which is conducive for developing that awareness. That is why we say, when we go for a retreat, kindly don't bring your mobile phones. Even if you do, switch it off or keep it in your rooms. As limited as possible, the external thoughts. So that you can develop the thoughts of Brahman. Mind also goes to the area where it has been constantly taken. Till now you have taken it only there. So now you have to develop a new habit, new pattern for it to go into that direction. So this is Atma Samyama Yajna. So we have covered Deva Yajna, Brahma Yajna, Dama Yajna, Vishayagrahana Yajna, Atma Samyama Yajna. Five Yajnas are covered. There are still more to come, which we will see next week. Om. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Thank you.